It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
From Fox 5, this is the 10 o'clock news.
Good evening.
I'm Nick. That was a seamless transition directly into News with Nick, the Saturday night live edition that has never happened before. I'm extremely nervous at the moment. We've got three chatters. As Ustreamer 23911 says, wow, Nick, you have three losers watching. That's three Move live viewers and off the air live. I think he meant to say three more. How's the levels? Let's check them. Checking Audacity. That looks good. See, live viewers, you can even see my levels up in this level later. It's not actually level later. That's just Audacity. Okay. Got a lot to get to. I always say that. What if I came on the air like, we have nothing to get to, which is usually what we say. We do have the Skype lines open. Skype me, Glorious Coconut, on Skype. Oops. I should edit that out of the actual recording. But if you're on the live stream, you can see it on the... Oh, the ambulance is going by. Yeah. So if you're in the live stream, you can see the Skype name on the bottom. Go ahead and call in and make that... talk about your favorite news story of the week. Was there a molester? Was there a killing? Was there an arson? What's your fave? Call in. We'll do some live news with Nick. If you want me to interview you about your childhood, maybe, about your worst fears and anxieties, you can call in and talk about that too. Just came back from a 12-mile run, that is. Did it in, I think, like 1 hour 28 minutes. Pretty good time. And I'm happy that I'm not injured. Well, I'm not more injured than I normally am after running for that far. Because after about like halfway, like I felt my leg like really like not the normal amount of pain that happens in that particular muscle. And so I was like, well, I'm halfway and this is a good place to stop because I do two loops basically. So I'm like, I could stop, but then I'm a real loser and a quitter. So I'm like, well, I might as well just push through the pain, and I was able to make it another six. So that happened, and one of the reasons that I had to run 12 miles today is because I ate a whole bunch of hot dogs for free. So I get into the car this morning, and I'm listening to the normal talk show that they put on in like the local area. I want to be a co-host on this talk show, by the way. I tried to friend the main host and he completely ignored me. I think he said, "Oh, Nick, I've heard of that guy. I'm not friending him." That would be hilarious if I was on the local radio in the mornings on Saturday as a co-host. Anyway, they talk about local issues and I'm driving to the recycling center so that I can throw away some hazardous waste. Now, we've talked about this on the show before. Puke and I were going to go do the hazardous waste collection today. But Puke left early and went to Alton to work on his car. So we didn't go to hazardous waste together. I had to go to hazardous waste separately. And on the show, I said, you've got to fill out this survey. And the survey is completely like, it's one question, and it's how did you hear about the hazardous waste collection? Well, I'm a big liar because I got to there and I pulled up and they said, would you mind filling out a survey? And they hand me a clipboard and a pen. And it's like five questions. And I'm like, well, I don't know what'll happen if I say no. Because technically, I think the hazardous waste collection in the area is actually not run by the government. It's run by a third party, like a charity or something maybe, that does hazardous waste collection because they don't want it going into the sewers or something. I don't know. I'm going to start a charity where it's like, do dump your hazardous waste into the sewers. Kill the fish. There's way too many fish. And because seafood's gross. Like, why would we want fish? That's disgusting. And then if you're going to a lake, like, if you go to a lake, what are you... You're like, man, I really hope my foot touches a fish. No! You don't hope your foot touches a fish. You hope your foot doesn't touch a fish. You hope there's no fish, that the water is just, like, what are fish doing? They're pleeing and blooping in the lake? No, I want a completely clear lake. I don't want fish lake. Dump your hazardous waste. Kill the fish. I think it's a great plan. Just came up with it. Anyway, so I got to fill out this survey, and it says, would you support a 5-cent to 25-cent fee on every gallon of paint you buy? That would go toward making sure that it's properly disposed of after it's used? And I'm assuming, like, yeah, this is going to be a government fee. So I should say, no, you're an idiot. I write, yes. I want to make the guy happy. So I hand back the survey. I just want to throw away my hazardous ways. I don't freaking care what the survey says. Survey says, hazardous waste does not go on fish. Drive around. There's three real burly men waiting there to take your hazardous waste. You pop your trunk, they take your hazardous waste, they dump it into these huge barrels, and then you're free to go. You can get your container back if you want. Super easy. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so I was on my way to hazardous waste, and I was listening to the radio, and the radio said, you know, today we're having a dedication of the new pavilion we built down at the rec center, and there's going to be hot dogs. They said they had got 400 hot dogs, but they had another 100 donated, and I'm listening, I'm like, there's going to be free hot dogs? Actually, I didn't even know they were free at the time. I just said, there's going to be hot dogs. I rush home. I'm like, Colleen, there's going to be hot dogs 11 a.m. We got to get there for hot dogs. So we drive down to hot dogs, and I expected it to be like a bake sale, like $2 for a hot dog. I was prepared to buy like $15 of hot dogs. Rob says, what hazardous waste did you throw away? I know this is extremely boring. Who freaking cares? I personally threw away some old gas that I had taken out of the lawnmower that sat for a year, and some old coolant that I just didn't know. Like, I don't know how long coolant stays good, right? It was just jugs of coolant I'd had for years. And so instead of risking it, I just bought a new jug of coolant and threw away the old jugs of coolant. Maybe it stays good forever. I mean, I didn't taste it or smell it to see if it was still good. I did pour it in the cat's dish, and the cat seemed to, like, be okay with it. So double use. You can use it as, like, cat food. I get down to the hot dog place, and they're not charging. I'm like, lady, you're not charging for these hot dogs. Where's your donation container? Now I'm in a predic, right? Because you go to these free hot dog places, and it's like, eh, here's a paper plate with one hot dog. I take my paper plate with one hot dog. I'm like, can I have another hot dog? They're like, sure. Here's another hot dog. Give me another hot dog. I walk down the table. Lady, handing out bags of potato chips. I walk down another couple steps, coolers, soda, water, completely free. This is put on by the Lions Club. They were dedicating a pavilion in Keene, and there were like probably less than 150 people there total, and we think they probably had 500 hot dogs. So I eat my two hot dogs, ate my chips, I go up, I get another two hot dogs and another two chips. And I keep saying, where's your donation bin? And they keep saying, no donations, it's free. So you're in a predicament. You're like, I kind of feel guilty for taking so many free hot dogs. But they keep saying they don't want donations. So I ate four free hot dogs, two free bags of chips, and a water. And all I had to do was listen to the mayor speak and have everyone look at me while singing the Pledge of Allegiance. Singing the Pledge of Allegiance? Singing the National Anthem. And this is exactly what happened. So Colleen and I decide, oh, we're going to set up our lawn chair. Espresso D says, good evening, long time no live chat. Well, Espresso D apparently woke up at 4:30 in the morning his time to come to this. That is retarded. Why would you do that? So Colleen and I decide we're going to set up our chair, we're going to set it up in the shade, and we're going to set it up in the way back because we may leave early, we don't want to be packing up our chair, they're going to see us. So before the band starts, apparently there was a band as part of this dedication. By the way, I think we should rent this pavilion and put on a live show downtown. One person would come. Or maybe, like, if we put it on the city schedule, a ton of people would come and they'd be like, wow, cool, radio show? And they'd show up and they'd be like, oh my God, cover your ears, children. So we sit in the way back. Right before they start the band, they go, all right, everyone, please rise for the national anthem and face the flag. And so we quickly realize that everyone is rising and turning around and facing us. That's because we sat directly in front of the flag. And so I rise, of course. Like, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm not going to have all these people see me sit for the national anthem. Colleen says, where's the flag? And she, like, turns around and looks at it, but she doesn't stand up. I'm like, you're not standing up. The song starts. I'm like, they're all looking at you. You're not standing up. She's like, I'm just being normal. It's fine. I'm like, okay, basically, you're trampling on the flag right now. They all are judging you. I couldn't believe it. She's a better activist than I am, not standing for that national anthem. When literally the entire place is looking over our shoulders at the flag. All right. What else happened? We can get into some other things later. We will jump into the news. Anyone have a news chat? Anyone have a news story that you want to get into? Otherwise, we'll jump into Donald Trump. Donald the Trump is like, Obama, you're fired. And I'm going to be the new prez. This guy is insane. He's obviously not a politician for the most part. Donald Trump is a semi-successful businessman, they would say. And he has decided he's running for president. And he recently got in some hot water. You guys probably heard about this, but again, news with Nick, we're going to play the clip. And he recently got in some hot water because he said that John McCain, or he implied that John McCain is only a war hero because he got captured.
But Frank, let me get to it. He hit me. He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war hero. He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Do you agree with that?
He's a war hero because he was captured, okay? You could.
Now that I'm playing this, I think we talked about this like on the break show or something, or the after show. I don't even remember.
And I believe perhaps he's a war hero, but right now he said some very bad things about a lot of people. So what I said is John McCain, I disagree with him that these people aren't crazy. And very importantly, and I speak the truth, he graduated last in his class at Annapolis. So I said, nobody knows that. I said he graduated last or second to last. He graduated last in his class at Annapolis. And
wait, when you graduate college, do they really put you in a ranking? Because in high school, it was like, here's the top 10. And then here's everyone else in alphabetical order. And then I did find out, I believe I found out my own rank. Like I was 82nd out of 380 or something. But I found out my own rank, but I don't think that anyone else knew my rank because we did it alphabetically. And when we graduated high school, you would walk up on stage and you would hand the person that was announcing things a card, and then they would read your name from the card because that just made sure that if you got out of order or whatever, that you were graduating in the right thing. I don't know.
He was upset.
Or they were reading the right name.
So why, for telling the truth? See, you're not supposed to say that somebody graduated last or second to last in their class, because you're supposed to be like Frank says, very nice. Folks, I want to make America great again. We want to get down to brass tacks. We don't want to listen to his stuff with being politically correct and everything has to. We have a lot of work to do.
I'm voting for this guy. He's the best. He's like, I'm not going to be nice. I don't care about being politically correct, and I hate John McCain, and he should have died. I wish he died as a prisoner of war, is basically what Donald Trump said. And Ustreamer23911 says, Nick, do some local Keen news. Nope, I don't know any Keen news. I'm voting for this guy. He is, he's got some traction. He's doing well in the polls. Can you believe it? And everyone's like, am I living in doo-doo land? La La Land, Dodo Land, because Donald Trump is making poll like hits. I don't think so. I think it's a great thing, and I think we need more people like him running. I think we need Donald Trump. I think we need Paris Hilton, and I think we need that kid from Wheel of Fortune that was just like spinning whenever he spun the wheel. A cream cheese coffee cake. Remember him? He was the best. I think we need that guy running for president too against Donald Trump. We literally have that guy. Speaking of keen news, here's some keen news. We literally have a guy who had a stroke running against the current mayor to try to take his spot. And the guy, stroke face, he already has a spot in the school board. He already has a spot in the state legislature. Like, how many different things can you run before you're not black anymore? He's black.
Like the other day, Hillary Clinton got up and she said, I didn't like Mr. Trump's tone. We have people, Christians, having their heads cut off in the Middle East. We have people dying.
I don't know why we're listening to this. I'm going to close that tab. Espresso D says, I like Trump based on the little I've seen so far. No, I'm sure his politics are complete crap. But it's going to be a fun ride if he ends up being able to take a nomination. Now, on the other side of things, like, everyone's paying attention to the Republicans. Are the Democrats, like, settled? Are they basically going to be like, it's Hillary? Because I don't think they should do that. I don't think it should be Hillary. Or is it Hillary and that other guy, Barney Sanders? Barney the Big Red Dinosaur Sanders. Bernie Sanders. Espresso D says, I like Trump. You also run multiple miles. And I don't know what else. I don't know what that means. I say a lot because I don't know where my notes went. Oh, and so Trump's doing this other thing where he is threatening to, like, but they all do this. This happens every single stupid election. Someone's like, well, if you don't like me, I can just run third party. And like, everyone's like, no, don't run third party, because if you run third party and it's like, oh, it's one person versus another person, it's going to split the vote of the people who kind of agree with you. And they never do, because you don't want to play against your party, because you need your party later on down the road, which is why they attack each other like pit bulls during the preliminaries. And then they're all on each other's side during the normals. And then you just hope that you get a cabinet position, right? So here's the two scenarios. So either Trump doesn't care what the rest of the party thinks, and he still could run a third-party campaign and completely ruin everything, or he wants to threaten to run a third-party campaign. And he wants them to say, no, please don't. If you don't, I'll, I don't know, I'll listen to what you have to say once a week or whatever when I'm president.
Cycling Corps'da Matthias Frank'ı gördüm. Aa, kaza! Oo, kimler düştü, ne oldu? Of, çok büyük kaza. Aman tanrım. Tam yüksek tempo var, herkes
yerde.
Ön tarafta inanılmaz bir tempo.
So, if you don't speak French, the translation of that video was, and we're watching the Tour de France. Oh, someone's crashed. Oh, they're all bleeding. They're all bleeding. Everyone's dead. Everyone in the Tour de France is gone.
I am cycling.
This happened.
I am cycling for the Matthias Frank.
Oops. This happened at stage 3. Now, I don't know how this Tour de France works. I probably should have looked this up. And I think does it work like that movie Iron Will, where you get to a particular point and you like sleep? And can you remember that movie about the Iditarod? Iditarod. Sorry, Iditarod's a 10K I did. Iditarod? Wait, is that what Hermione said? Iditarod? Now I don't even know what the thing is called. Anyway, Iditarod. Right, Iditarod. Thank you. It's the Iditarod, and they do the dog sled race. Is that what Iron Will was about, or is that another dog sled race? Anyway, he'd go. That was a long movie, by the way. But he'd go and then like stop at these trains, and then they'd sleep. Is the Tour de France like that, or is it like you finish a stage, and then you get to take off the next stage based on the time you did the previous stage? Maybe I should have looked this up. Anyway, stage three of the Tour de France, we got all these bikers going along.
Kimler düştü, ne oldu?
And then one of them crashes into another one, and then they all start crashing behind that one. Oh, huge crash. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. Let's watch it on the replay. One guy falls. Oh, how scary must that be? Like, you fall in front of 1,000 bicyclists. Like, you're gonna get run over. Right? Seems like all of them were mostly fine. I know this is completely boring to any audio listeners. The live stream can actually see the video. By the way, live stream, how is that smooth or is that like crap? Let me know in the chat how that video quality even looks. Let me go back. I think there was someone hurt. Oh, yeah, look at that guy. Oh, he is. Oh, he's clutching his butt. Oh, look at that. Oh, man. He's hurt bad. And his, there's no blood. Now they got to detangle all of their bikes from each other. Like, your bike's stuck in my dentures or my braces or whatever. All right, so that was the Tour de France crash. That was pretty exciting that that happened. And huge crash at NASCAR. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Daytona. It wasn't the Daytona 500, but it was at the Daytona track. So how NASCAR works is that pretty much every track gets raced at twice. So we have the Daytona 500, and then you race at Daytona again. Who cares? Espresso D says the video is surprisingly smooth. Black Jeebus says the video is smooth. Nice! I got a new program running. And by the way, I'm running on my good computer. I'm not running on the streaming computer at Andrew's house. I'm running on a good computer. I got a new program. So I'm simultaneously streaming my face on the cam and the news videos on the other monitor. Incredibly good. And if we could get some Skype callers, we could test that too. But it's not going to happen. Ustreamer 28441 says I'm eating popcorn and drinking Colt 45. That's coolio. The only problem with this is this, like, I'd really like to, like, after we're done with the show, like, stream some games or something, but I don't think it can handle it. Like, I could try. I could launch up some Smite and try to do some streaming, but I don't think that the program's going to handle it. Like, I'm not going to be able to keep the frame rates I need to be able to play the game and simultaneously stream. Junior. So we got a last lap of the Daytona, and we got Dale Earnhardt Jr. leading the pack.
We'll win in Daytona, and the big one happens behind them.
Oh my God!
Oh, huge crash! Someone's on fire. Everyone's really excited. They're so happy. Let's look at the replay, though. And it's not about the fact that there was a huge crash. It's what happened to one particular car.
But then the accident takes place behind him.
Yeah, the 11 gets kind of stuck in the middle there and comes across the Force bumper. As he does, he spins back.
The 3 car is on the inside. It starts spinning out, and then it takes off. And it literally flips upside down and then flies over 2.5 car widths of race cars. Misses the outside wall. Right, the outside retaining wall, and goes into the fence. Now, these fences, thank goodness, are made to catch cars that are flying at 180 miles an hour, which is kind of amazing. Like, how do you build a fence to do that? But watch this. It catches the car.
It's the 3 airborne, and he just gets projected
and it
off
just
the other car.
Throws
right
it back into the track. Oops.
3 airborne, and he just gets projected off the other cars right up into the fence.
And so the car... hits the fence, gets thrown back into the track, spins around upside down.
Two rows of cars and into that catch fence.
Oh, let me see. Let me hear him.
Two rows of cars and into that catch fence.
Here we go. You can see him on the bottom.
Rex starts in front. He runs in the back of the 24. Gets up on the 11. Now he's on top of the 54.5. Now it's just a long little run.
Yeah,
watch the car stop. Watch the car stop. It gets into those poles, and it goes from, I don't know what, 180, 190 miles an hour, I'm just guessing, to a complete stop. That is unbelievable.
And it looks like a tour. That's 3,500 pounds. That stock car is extremely heavy. You see here, after he's upside down, the two is spinning.
Oh, yeah, so it's really funny. He gets thrown back into the track. He's upside down. He spins, spins, stops. And then he's like, whew, it's over. At the last, and then right as soon as the car stops, he gets hit by another car.
It looks like a tour. That's 3,500 pounds.
He's stopped, and then this other car just spins out and knocks him again.
The two is spinning.
After that, the guy gets out. He's completely fine.
Obviously, he's already lost control, makes more contact with the three.
They didn't show it in this video, but they go. Obviously, the crews. Maybe I can see the truck here. Like after they crashed, the emergency trucks were flooring it. Look at these guys. They're like running full speed toward the car to be like, "Oh, he's gonna be dead." Nope, he was completely fine. He walked out, and which is interesting because Dale Earnhardt, obviously 2001, Dale Earnhardt driving the three car. On the last lap of Daytona, which the three car on the last lap of Daytona crashed here, Dale Earnhardt's three car on the last lap of Daytona crashed, and of course, Dale Earnhardt dead. Saddest day of my life. Just kidding. Not really sad. It's like 10th saddest or something. It goes, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Sorry, not Dale Earnhardt Jr. I don't care about him. Dale Earnhardt dies 9/11. Anyway, so they're like, oh, they shouldn't even have the three back. Three should have been retired. Well, you can't just retire every number from someone who's famous, right? I get it. Dale Earnhardt was a great legend in the NASCAR racing, and he died in a crash very tragically and very sad. But the three belongs to the team that he was associated with, and they bring it back. That's fine. You can't just retire every number. There's only infinity numbers. You can't just be retiring them. No, there's only 99 numbers probably because they don't want to go into three digits. The thing I have to say, though, is why did you have to go with the exact same font, right? The three is in the exact same font on the car. You could have, if you're going to use the three, you could have been like, we'll do it in a different font so it doesn't look exactly like Dale Earnhardt's car, right? Right? Or does every font have to be the same? Is that just the rules of NASCAR? Your font must be sans serif, Verdana italic, 84 point. Let's look at my show notes. Dunkin' Donuts CEO has come out, and he has said,
"We've always been a supporter of reasonable increases in the minimum wage. You know, we think the minimum wage actually stimulates the economy."
He has something to say about the minimum wage and all these workers that are going $15, $15, $15, $15. Ow, my nipple.
I think it's good for low, middle income employees and people in those categories. We think that a debate needs to take place about how to tackle income inequality, but this is absolutely outrageous. The increase is 71% that's proposed over 3 years. Yes, 71%. And we.
Now, I must be out of the loop because I thought that this $15 minimum wage was like, oh, it's a bunch of people that are like Occupy Wall Street. They're not going to be listened to and nobody's going to care. But now the Dunkin' Donuts CEO has come out and started like speaking on it, which makes me think like, is this a real thing that's gaining traction? Let me Google this. $15 minimum wage. Wage. Minimum wag. $15 per tail wag at our puppy pound. Restaurants warn that New York push for $15 minimum raise could close hundreds of businesses. Critics are blasting a New York wage board decision to hike the minimum wage to $15. Hang on a sec. We got to do more looking into this. This could be a real thing. Okay, critics are blasting a New York wage board decision to hike the minimum wage to $15 an hour for fast food establishments that threatens to close hundreds of businesses. Is it only for fast food establishments? That'd be weird. Yeah, if you work at Walmart, we don't care. The International Franchise Association, which represents tens of thousands of major chain restaurants and their franchisees, said the decision could lead to massive job losses and closures. Now, what is the New York Wage Board decision? Like, is that just a committee that, like, says to other people, hey, you should do this? Ustreamer 28441 says, Mr. Ryder, have you ever worked at a fast food restaurant? No, I have not. So fill me in on why you asked that. Because I have not yet stated an opinion on the matter. Uh-oh. This can't be good.
Are you ready to make New York the leader on fighting for low-wage workers all around the country?
Well, that was getting... So here's the problem. I got something that's trying to play, I think. Oh, wait. I see where it's coming from. It was coming from the other tab. Pause. Let me actually play that. Hello? Are you going to play or not? Guess not. My computer's completely crashing. This is so dumb. Well, I didn't mean to play a thing. I meant to read this thing. Another video's loading. No wonder everything takes forever. Every single news story has a video that tries to play, which is cool because it means I don't have to talk. But it's not cool because it means the thing takes forever to load and I look like an idiot while I try to pause it, play it, and my computer is like lagging as heck. So let's see what this guy has to say.
Seattle's $15 minimum wage law is supposed to lift low-wage workers out of poverty and off welfare. But some workers are asking for fewer hours so they don't lose public subsidies for things like food, childcare, and housing. A local radio host is hearing several workers want to work less.
If you're that single mom with two kids and all of a sudden you make $1,000 too much, you're no longer eligible for food assistance, well, why in the world would you want to continue those hours?
Despite a booming economy, the state's welfare caseload has dropped very little since the wage phase-in began in April. Meantime, prices have gone up. Some restaurants are charging 15% more and no longer encourage tips. Several restaurants closed unexpectedly.
I'm going to pause that. The New York Wage Board decision to discriminate against the quick service food industry will cost jobs and potentially cause small businesses to close. So it does sound like it's $15 an hour for fast food? That doesn't make any sense. Why would it only be if you work at McDonald's or Wendy's that you get $15 an hour and not if you work at PC Jenny's? PC Jenny's, where I go try on all my laptops. Espresso Diaz uncovered an issue with the live stream in that Nick is only coming out of the left speaker where other sounds are coming out of both speakers. Now, that's true, and I don't know how to fix it right now because my microphone has always been a mono microphone, and it goes only to the left speaker for some reason. Now, on the podcast, it should sound fine because we're going to mix it down. It's going to be correct, but right now for the live stream, I don't know. Maybe I could fix that in the software that says only broadcast in a mono? Let's see. Settings. Audio. Nope, can't do it right now. Sorry. Okay. Back to $15 minimum wage. Applying a new mandatory minimum wage increase to the narrow group of businesses creates an unlevel playing field for owners that provide important entry-level jobs and valuable experience for millions of workers across the state of New York. So it's going to be like, man, I cannot wait to work at McDonald's. That pays the most. I don't want to work at Walmart. I don't want to work at JCPenney. I don't want to work at Bixby. I don't want to work at Radio Shork. I don't want to work at anything else. I only want to work at McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, Subway. And now, what counts as fast food? Like, is Chipotle fast food? Because sometimes there's a pretty long line. It doesn't seem very fast. No, just kidding. So, that's weird that they would do that. A wage board. Oh, we're going to find out what a wage board is. A wage board consisting of two labor-friendly appointees and one entrepreneur voted to hike the starting wage to $15, more than double the standard $7.25 federal level, and a 70% increase from the statewide wage after several weeks of hearings. The board convened after a years-long pressure campaign by Labor Giant Service Employees International Union targeting McDonald's and other fast food establishments. The wage hike could have an immediate effect on small businesses. Obviously. So I went to Dunkin' Donuts on the way back from Andrew's house last week. Shouldn't have done that. Had a breakfast sandwich. I said, I'll have a number 4. Sausage, egg, and cheese. And they ring it in. They give me my receipt. Thanks. Don't look at my receipt. I go wait for it. Some lady, a few minutes later, goes, ham and egg and cheese. Boop. Puts it down. And I go, I had a sausage, egg, and cheese. And she says, let me see your receipt. And we both look at it. And I go, oh, it says ham on it. And she remade it, obviously. But she's like, sorry about that. I'm like, well, it's not your fault. They rang it in wrong. Like, but I should have looked at the receipt, right? But that's a 7. I clearly would not have said 7 if I meant 4, right? So I said 4. They put it in as a 7. And obviously they're idiots and they should die. No, just kidding. I don't care. They obviously, that's a hard job. And it must be difficult to be a fast food worker and, like, try not to screw up most of the day. Like, if you go by, think of your coworkers. Like, how often do your coworkers send you, like, an order or, like, some instructions or something to do that's not complete, or it's, like, screwed up, or they misread a PO or something like that? Like, how often does that happen? And your coworkers are probably paid more than the Dunkin' Donuts employees, and yet we're like, hey, you Dunkin' Donuts employee, you suck, and you're the worst person ever. Stop screwing up my orders. Yeah, they suck. That's what you get when you want to pay for fast food, right? If you want to pay for real food, don't go to that Indian restaurant downtown because they don't have any paper on the tables and they don't have any silverware and they don't know. I don't know what I was going to say. They don't have pens to write down orders, I guess. Espresso D says it's also a bit weird that you would only get minimum wage if you work. Okay. None of that would have happened if they get paid more, like $15 per hour. I'm a software developer, and I don't even make that. Well, see, that's why I'd be like, I don't want them to get $15 an hour if I'm barely making $15 an hour doing everything I do, and I'm way smarter than them, obviously, because they're teens. All right, let's see what Dunkin' Donuts guy has to say about his employees messing up my ham sandwich.
Outrageous. The increase is 71% that's proposed over 3 years. Yes, 71%. And we tried to enter into the debate. The industry wasn't allowed to have a voice in it. This is going to affect small business. This is going to affect franchisees. This is the basically the fuel of growth in our economy. I think it's actually going to hurt young people. The unemployment rate among 16 to 19 year olds in New York State is 20.8%. Obviously, we're going to do everything we can to mitigate, and part of the mitigation may be employing less people.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, you've got to have contingency plans here, right? You guys run the numbers. If this is implemented, what does it mean in terms of layoffs?
Well, I don't think it's going to mean layoffs, Poppy, but okay. I think what's
less
going to happen,
hiring?
We're in an industry where, yeah, probably less hiring, probably less growth. I mean, I don't want to sound at all threatening about that. I mean, we wanted to have a
yes,
debate.
You do.
The industry wanted to have a debate. I think the industry is actually taking a very progressive stance. And what people forget, our industry is the industry that trains America's workforce. Most people have their first job in our industry.
I just want to say also.
Oop, the anchor is going to say something. Debatable. Here's the other. Yeah, your prices are going to go up for your sandwich. You're not going to have a $3, $2, whatever it is, ham and sausage and cheese sandwich anymore from Dunkin' Donuts if these people are making 15. And they're not going to be any smarter for making 15. They're just going to be like, I deserve 15.
So, though, what we have seen is that it's not really anymore just the youngest workers, high school students right out of high school, that are working in the fast food industry. Increasingly, we're seeing older workers in the fast food industry that are staying there.
The preponderance of our workers, the younger workers, when people move into our industry, once they demonstrate success in working in the restaurants, they get progression very quickly. And if they're effective, they can make management grades or shift leader grades very quickly indeed, and they will be earning far in excess of minimum wage. And I would also suggest they're earning far in excess of what people call the living wage. So we've got a track record of developing people who are good. We give people the opportunity. But I think you're missing the point in that we're the people who start off and give the young people the opportunity to start work. Mm-hmm. They can progress in our industry or elsewhere. As I said,
I know I'm not talking much, but this guy is just making all, like, this is news, right? This guy making all these points. He's the CEO of Dunkin' Donuts. And he's like, this is why your $15 a wage is stupid. Because we train people and they should not be paid that much yet.
We educate and help train America's workforce.
You bring up a living wage, and I wanted to ask.
It is true. Every time a person quits fast food and they have to rehire a person, that's a ton of money. You're paying that person to come in and look at it, a CRT monitor in the corner because you haven't updated your training system for 10 years, but you're watching the video training. That person's sitting in the corner getting $8 an hour just to listen to training, and then you tell them to open, they just throw salad everywhere. Here's how you open. Throw salad everywhere.
Ask you that.
That's what Colleen says, at least.
In your opinion, Nigel, what is a living wage in an American city right now? And I know it differs from city to city. So let's take a New York City or a Chicago or a Los Angeles. What is a living wage?
What is a living wage?
Well, as you said,
maybe if you have a baby, your living wage is more, unless you sell your baby.
Hey, Poppy, it's all over the map, and I did look up before I came on air what we think it is in New York State. It's over $12 an hour, but it's not $15 an hour. So
okay.
I think that's for a family. That is for a family who obviously are going to look after their kids and housing, etc. But most of the people that we employ on minimum wage, and it's not many in our company, and our franchisees are very select about how many are on minimum wage.
Right.
Most of those are the younger workers, 16 to 19.
Well, there's the news, I guess. That was pretty stupid.
Hey, Dad, who is that man?
He's our broker.
Do you pay him?
Of course.
How much?
Now I'm intrigued by this new...
I don't know exactly.
Are you asking enough questions about the way your wealth is managed? Wealth management.
Do people really go see brokers? Yeah. You gonna broke my money? Broke it down for me? Yeah, I really need this broken down for me. Oh, you came to the right place. I'm a broker. I broke down your stocks. Espresso D says, obviously were the minimum wage higher than what I make, I would probably be unemployed. I don't think you know... I don't think you know words. I would probably unemployed. Well, that's because you work at Fiverr.com doing software development. Is it true that if you want something developed, you just like call Europe or you call like South Africa and the development labor? Like, I say I want an Android app made. If you pay for it in America, like the developers are like, no, I got to pay. I got to feed my kids at Popeye's Chipotle Chicken. I'm going to need more than $5,000 for whatever ad, for whatever app you're making. But then you are like, so we tried to hire this website developer, and they're like, yeah, we develop websites and we work with outside developers as well as contractors so that we can get this work done. And our main contractor is out of Europe, and we've never met him, but that's fine. We just deal with the email, and we tell him what to do, and he's really great. And I'm like, okay, I don't think you're hired, is what we said. let's see here. So that's the $15 minimum wage. Ooh, okay. Apparently this web's page is not loading. I don't know if I have any other opinions on it. I just know that stuff's going to be more expensive and I just can't go to fast food. I guess I just have to go to slow food. Yeah, are you one of those slow foods that I don't have to pay $15 an hour? Cool. Because I'm going to pay you. Esports leagues to start randomly drug testing competitors. Well, there's that headline. Missing youth of Japan. 1 million. This is completely a separate news story because I've got this webpage and it's not loading. All right, let me load it in another browser. Let me load it in the Chrome. Because the Internet Explorer is not working. The only reason I'm using Internet Explorer now is that it works better with a new program I made that I got. But it's really stupid slow. Ustreamer 28441 says, if I made $15 an hour, I would spend it all on Colt 45 and popcorn. Okay? We got a Colt 45 popcorn-y guy. Speaking of popcorn, went into the video store today. It's closing. Speaking of news about my local town that some of you guys wanted to hear about, I've got a video store. It was a video rental store. You would go in and you would actually rent DVDs. Can you believe it? It wasn't a Redbox. I know that every Redbox has one employee that works inside of it and it makes $15 an hour. But no, this was a real video store. You walked in and you rented DVDs. Well, they're going out of business. Finally. And so we go in. I'm like, we ate our free hot dogs. I'm like, we should head over to the video store. It's going out of business. We go in, and I'm really impressed, actually, by the way they're doing this. They're not hiring. It doesn't look like. I have no evidence of this, but it doesn't look like they're hiring a liquidation company. And now when businesses go out of business, they usually hire these companies that come in and go, okay, we're going to mark everything up 25%, and then we're going to mark it down 30%, and we're going to say, your stuff's 30% off. And people will come in and go, ooh, 30% off? I'm buying it all. It doesn't look like that's happening. We went to the video store, and it looks like everything's marked, like, legitimately off. Like, I got four movies for $9, and you can also buy their shelving. You can buy their, like, popcorn machine. You can buy their, like popcorn, like, bucket holder, which is why this came up, because I'm hearing about pop, because we're talking about popcorn. You can buy their popcorn bucket holder or whatever. You can buy some posters. And you can buy all the porn! We went out back. I'm like, clean, we got to go to the back room just to see. And I'm like, oh my God, Cutie Innocence 3 is on sale. And she's like, no, we can't start at 3. You have to watch 1 and 2 first. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it's like, if you're going to buy something, like, you go to this back room, it's like It's this very tiny back room. You go in there, you close the door, it's just walls on walls of porn surrounding you, right? And then there's these signs on the walls that say, if you're going to buy something from this room, please use a bag and put it in the bag. Thanks. Signed, The Kids. I'm like, okay, you're welcome, kids. I didn't get anything from that room. But that's the point, is I got four movies from the store that's going out of business. It's kind of sad, but it's kind of cool, too. Like, cool. Go out of business if you sell DVDs. The Electronic Sports League said Thursday it will begin randomly drug testing players in its competitive video game tournaments. The esports organization plans to work with the World Anti-Doping Agency to create and enforce rules surrounding the use of performance-enhancing drugs. Quote, the growing visibility and popularity of esports, as well as increasing prize pools, make it not only more tempting for teams and players to break the rules, but also more damaging to our sport as a whole when they do, the organization said in a statement. The announcement came after a competitive video game player said in a YouTube video posted last week that he and his team used the drug Adderall during an ESL tournament, which is Electronic Sports Leagues, in March, where players competed for $250,000 in prize money. The Cologne, which Germany-based organization, that's the name of their organization, The Cologne, said the random drug test would begin in its ESL One Cologne tournament in August. One Cologne tournament. All right, you guys, up for grabs. One Cologne. You got to share it. Previously, ESL prohibited the use of drugs, alcohol, and other performance enhancers. Wait a minute. How would alcohol performance enhance you? I know for sure that when I drink alk, I play Smite worse. ESL prohibited the use of drugs, alcohol, and other performance enhancers, but didn't test for doping. Other esports organizations, such as Major League Gaming, have similarly prohibited but not tested for doping. Why do they keep calling it doping? Keep calling it doping. Are they just being like, oh, that's what Lance Armstrong calls it, so we're going to call it that too. Over the past 10 years, esports has evolved from a niche genre of gaming to a lucrative sport that draws tens of millions of spectators. Now, they called it a sport here. They called it esports has evolved into a sport. It's not a sport. Okay? All these people are like, yeah, esports? That's a sport. Esports is a real sport. No, it's not. Esports is an esport. Is email a real mail? No. Is elephant a real elephant? Wait a minute. I couldn't think of anything else that was E. Put it in the chat if you... if you can think of other E things that are not the thing that comes after the dash. People want to be like, people hold this word sport on this pedestal, right? Oh my goodness, a sport. ESPN. It can go on ESPN if it's a sport. Poker. It's a sport, everyone. Poker's a sport. Chess is a sport. Monopoly's a sport? No. Chess is a board game. Poker is a card game. Right? And esports are esports. They are video games. And sports are sports. That doesn't mean it takes less skill to play an esport. If you go against, if an esporter went against Tom Brady, the esporter would win if they're playing an esport, and Tom Brady would win if they're playing a real sport. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. They're just different. You don't have to be like, oh my God, a sport. That's the best thing it could ever be. Cheerleading, not a sport. Competitive cheerleading, sport. Now, I understand that that's kind of like stupid, right? If you're cheerleading, like if you're cheerleading, you're like, yay! You're not doing a sport because you're not against another team. But if you're competitive cheerleading, then you're doing a sport. That's me saying that. I guess. I don't think you can do a sport if you're not like, I think a sport's a game. Like, you have to have a winner and a loser. You can cheerlead, and that takes a lot of skill. It's like dancing, though. Dancing's not a sport unless you're I don't know. Unless you're doing a dance, unless you're competitive rapping in the streets. I came from the streets with rap. Now I'm a sport. All right, let's see what the chat has to say. Is an e-cig a cig? Is electronic music music? Is electronic a electronic? Okay. Electronic. All right, we're getting too much into E words, guys. So that is esports for you. Espresso D says, give Colleen a mic. Well, you make a strange assumption that I have more than one mic physically able to connect to the computer. I do not. I don't have a mixer here. This is plugged directly in. There's no things going on here. All right, guys, we had some huge news this week. We had a shooting in Louisiana where a guy walked up and shot a bunch of Marines. Shootings began shortly after 10 a.m. Is Estonia? No, I don't know what you're talking about anymore. Oh, I have two screens going here? Sorry, wait, can you guys see that? Oh, there we go.
Around 10:45 this morning, the first shots fired. A witness says a silver Mustang convertible pulled into this plaza lined with military recruiting offices.
He just pulled up and I didn't think anything of it. He had his drop top and he looked to the side and next thing you know, he lifted up his arms like this with a big black gun and just...
Ooh. He lifted up his big black gun?
You know, he lifted up his arms like this with a big black gun and just, it was one shot and then it was just endless shots, one after another, just unloading.
From there, the alleged shooter, now identified as 24-year-old Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz, took off, racing to a naval
By the way, every Republican radio host was like, that is the best thing I've ever heard. Mohammed Abdul Aslaf Aziz attacked. Of course he did, because his name's Mohammed. Every Mohammed, terrorist. Oh, can you see my belly? Whoops. Didn't button my shirt all the way down.
And just, it was one shot, and then it was just endless shots, one after another, just unloading.
From there, the alleged shooter, now identified as 24-year-old Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz, took off, racing to a naval reserve center about 7 miles away. Police responded, giving chase, catching up with him at the reserve center where a gun battle broke out.
They arrived on the scene extremely quickly, and they actively and enthusiastically engaged this brazen criminal.
Enthusiast. They were like, oh, we're here, and we're very excited to be shooing at you.
Quickly, and they actively and enthusiastically engaged this brazen criminal.
The response by the local law enforcement was overwhelming. They were able to neutralize the threat.
Four Marines were killed on the scene. At least three others were wounded. Sources tell CNN the shooter also died on the scene. It was all over within 30 minutes. A former recruit is devastated to see the aftermath.
Why would you kill the people?
Oh my goodness, are you serious? That is the meanest thing that they've ever done. They're just, look at this, they're just videotaping this guy. By the way, a video is going to start in this other tab in a second, I think. I'm really scared.
Yep, the average American visits about 7 different websites before booking a hotel. I totally get that. We want to make sure that we get a great hotel for the best price. But why only 7 when there are so many more out there? Next time, before you book.
All right, well, we're just going to listen to the rest of this
Trivago compares
ad,
because
I don't know how to pause it. I don't even know to make sure what's happening. Espresso D in the chat says, I assume you're not wearing any pants either.
Hotel?
That's interesting. As interesting that you would make that assumption.
John Russell.
Isn't it? Let's go back to the video that I was talking about, which was the shooting of the four Marines. So what happened is he shot at a... He shot at one place, and then he drove to the recruitment center. Oh, no. He shot at a recruitment center, and then... Let's check the information. The shootings began shortly after 10:30 a.m. at the Armed Forces Career Center in a strip mall located on the Lee Highway. The center recruited personnel for branches of the U.S. military, blah, 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 blah. There, he fired 25 to 30 shots into the office from inside a silver rental Ford Mustang convertible, wounding a Marine. He then escaped and led members of the Chattanooga Police Department on a pursuit. He drove 7 miles to a Naval Reserve Center, where he rammed his vehicle through a security gate. He drove to one of the center's buildings and first fired at it, and then charged inside the building and continued firing, fatally wounding a U.S. Navy soldier. He then exited the building through the back and re-entered a fenced motor pool area where he shot more people. 3 to 5 minutes after the second shooting began, he re-entered the building where he fired upon responding police officers and was fatally shot by them. And then the news shows this real mean video of this guy just crying.
Within 30 minutes, a former recruit is devastated to see the aftermath.
Why would you kill the people that volunteered to protect
you? He is so gay, by the way. Look at that.
We are.
I have no evidence of that.
Treating this as an act of domestic terrorism.
And late tonight, a law enforcement source tells CNN the FBI is working the case as a potential terrorism investigation.
Okay. According to the Chattanooga Times Free Press, the FBI is not yet calling Abdulaziz a terrorist. Special Agent Ed Reinhold stated that he is being treated as a homegrown violent extremist and that the FBI is exploring the idea that Abdulaziz was self-radicalized. I don't even understand. How do you become a radical Islamist? Because I want to learn how to do this. What do you... Like, you go online one day and like, I'm just going to Google for like, I don't know. I need a new book to read. And it's like, how about you read How to Become a Radical Islamist? And you're like, oh, cool, I'll read this. And then you go to becomearadicalislamist.com/forums. And then you talk to the other guys and they're like, yeah, you definitely need to kill Marines. Abdulaziz did not attract the attention of the FBI in the period leading up to the shootings. Starting in 2003, he traveled to Jordan a total of 5 times. The latest was a visit to a maternal uncle, blah, blah, blah. They also noted a change in his behavior in that he made critical statements against ISIS. Maybe he thought that he was better than ISIS. ISIS, they're not good enough. I'll cut off 15 heads per day. Black Jeeba says, why doesn't Clean get on mic much? Okay, don't know. Why don't you get on mic much, Clean? She doesn't want to be on, she wants to not do the show. It's stressful. I don't want to do a show. It's stressful. And like I said, I don't have another mic. But we do break shows all the time. You should check them out at episode 100. Episode 143? I'm just making up episode numbers now. None of his writings laid out plans for an attack or spelled out a motive, however. Motivation is surmised from the fact that on July 11th, Abdulaziz bought a supply of ammunition at Walmart. Motivation is surmised from the fact that on July, he bought a supply of ammunition. On July 13th, he wrote long diary entries describing life as a kind of prison and warning. Don't be fooled by your desires. This life is short and bitter, and the opportunity to submit to Allah may pass you by, he wrote. He also wrote that people mistakenly thought that the Sahabada were priests living in monasteries. This, he wrote, is untrue, and that every one of them, fought jihad for the sake of Allah. Okay, so he's obviously gone insane, which is sad. Hours before the shooting, he texted an Islamic verse to a friend that read, whosoever shows enmity enmity to a friend of mine. Then I have declared war against him. Okay, cool. So he's just an Islamist, and we should hate all Muslims. Search him at the airport. I don't care. New shooter. We go from that shooter to a new shooter.
Hauser, known as Rusty, portrayed.
Lafayette shooter. This is Lafayette, some state. Who even knows where Lafayette is? I don't. Louisiana.
Portrayed himself as a self-made business owner, entrepreneur, and realtor. The reality of the 59-year-old who had a law degree from Alabama's Faulkner University appears much different.
We saw in there that there was a restraining order put against him, that his wife was fearful of him, his daughter was fearful of him.
So you know how sometimes they're like, man, he was just such a good guy. He was such a great neighbor. I could never imagine him doing this. That wasn't this guy. Basically, his wife and his daughter were like, get away from us. You are an insane man. And so this man apparently just went all the way off the deep end and planned a shooting at a theater, of all things.
His wife was fearful of him. His dog was fearful of him.
A 2008 restraining order offers a glimpse into Hauser's life. Taken out by his own family, says Hauser had a history of manic depression and or bipolar disorder. His wife, so concerned about his mental state, removed all guns and or weapons from their home. The family even sought to have Hauser committed to a mental care facility involuntarily, a request granted by a judge.
We know he had some contacts early on in the city with some businesses, but nothing that would have alerted anyone to think that maybe we need to call law enforcement about this fella or anything like that.
In postings last January to the blogging website usmessageboard.com,
usmessageboard.com, the blogging website usmessageboard.com. I'm going to head on over to usmessageboard.com. U.S. Message Board Political Discussion Forum. So if you really want to do a thing up in the message board, just head on over to usmessageboard.com, I guess.
To the blogging website usmessageboard.com, Hauser expressed admiration for Adolf Hitler, saying the mass murderer accomplished far more than any other through pragmatically forming. On the same site, he saluted fundamentalist Muslims who have killed in the name of their religion. And on the website, politicalforum.com, between March and May 2013,
wow,
postings that can mostly be described as nonsensical ramblings, but there are themes. Again and again, he expresses concern about the media, black bloc vote, business, political alliance. His writings expressing fear of gays.
Yeah, it seems like he should not have probably shot up a theater if he wanted to. Wait, what about the gays?
The demise of white America, fear of Israel. He even says of the NRA, I knew they weren't worth a damn. He calls those who don't agree brainwashed, saying, I have lived all my life as an oddball. Now there seems to be a purpose.
Goodness. Okay, so that's sad. He obviously also didn't know what was going on. Let's read some information about this shooting. Okay, I closed the wrong tab. On July 23rd, 2015, a shooting occurred at the Grand 16 Theater, movie theater in Lafayette, Louisiana. John Russell Hauser, age 59, opened fire during a showing of the film Trainwreck, killing two people and injuring nine others. The shooting occurred at 12:30 p.m. Central Time during the screening of Trainwreck. Hauser went to the theater alone, bought a ticket for the comedy, and sat for several minutes in the auditorium's second-to-last row, which had 25 people in the screening room. 300 people were in the entire building. That is the smallest theater I've ever seen, then. 25 people went to that movie. He was armed with a .40 caliber handgun, a .40. I guess you just shorten it to 40, right? .40 caliber handgun, and equipped with two 10-round magazines. They don't say if they were Cosmopolitan. They don't say if they were, you know, Nickelodeon magazine. There was this one time I went to Christian summer camp. Every time I went to Christian summer camp, I was like, Mom, I'm going to need something to read. Get me a Nickelodeon magazine. Got a Nickelodeon magazine. I read it at night. Hid it under my mattress. Little did I know, during the day, the other kids searched my mattress for contraband. They found the Nickelodeon magazine and then told everyone that Nick hides Nickelodeon magazines under his mattress. And I was like, I feel ashamed. But you had to play it off. You had to be like, yeah, that's whatever. I don't care what you think. Then I went on to be a shooter. That's how it happened. First two people he shot were sitting right in front of him, and both subsequently died. That sucks. The shooting was contained to one theater. After the shooting ended, Hauser exited the theater through a side door and apparently tried to head for his vehicle. However, upon noticing police sirens, he retreated back inside the building and fired three more shots at fleeing moviegoers. Then he committed suicide. That's too bad. Prior to the shooting, two police officers were already on duty. After witnessing audiences fleeing and hearing gunshots, they made their way to the auditorium. Upon entering the theater, they found Hauser dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Yeah, that's sad. It seems like, though, that what happened here is he actually had a bigger plan. Like, this is more interesting because it doesn't seem like it's just an Islamic man who's like, yeah, I'm just going to start shooting until someone kills me. He actually had a hotel room, it said. Ooh, in 2014, when Hauser was faced with the threat of eviction from his home in Alabama, he booby-trapped the house by twisting out and igniting the gas starter tube in the fireplace after removing the logs in an attempt to make the house catch on fire? Man, what an insane. Anyway, so they were saying that he had like wigs and outfits. So he was going to shoot a bunch of people, run back to the hotel room and be like, wasn't me. Which would have been pretty funny. Got a couple other updates to give you, and then we will wrap it up shortly unless we get some sort of Skype call. We've been doing News with Nick for over an hour and 12 now, so that's a pretty long time. How's the recording coming? Pretty good. Look at those levels, guys. Pretty good levels. Batman shooter convicted on all counts. So he's going to be facing sentencing soon. This was the man with the orange hair. Well, the media keeps showing him an orange hair because they want you to think he's an insane, which he is. Except his defense was, no, I'm insane. And then the jury said, no, you're not. And he said, fine, I'm not. No, I don't know how. It's like, my defense is defense by insanity. Look how insane I am. I killed everyone. I guess the point of being, I guess you have to be insane to the point where you don't understand that it's wrong to put on a gas mask and just shoot a bunch of people, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, he's guilty. They're going to be facing sentencing. Now, another person that we never really did an update on that I forgot about for several months. This is not new news. It's about 3 months old. I looked it up this week, though, because I was like, this is a person we've covered and I don't remember what happened. Jodi Arias. Remember the sexiest trial ever? And she killed her boyfriend after doing it. Anyway, the point is, she got two hung juries and then finally was sentenced to what's called natural life in prison, which is otherwise known as life without parole. So she will not be going to the death chambers, I suppose. And that's it. All right, let's see. Is there anything else going on here? We've got, see what this is. We have from trusted pastor to child predator. It was a story that made headlines for more than 2 years. Last month, former Richmond megachurch pastor Geronimo Geronimo? Are you kidding me right now? Geronimo Aguilar was guilty of sexually assaulting two girls when he was their youth pastor in the 1990s. Nancy Moore. She was like, no, Moore. Just kidding. That's disgusting. Edit that out. Was one of the victims spoke exclusively with 8 News immediately after the verdict was read. Let's see what this video is going to say. It's not going to say anything.
With Xfinity, stream your recordings or download them to your smartphone or tablet.
Tell me right now, I wish I knew how to work the internet system.
Awesome. Or on a plane.
Okay. Can mute that for a second. Okay, so she spoke, she said, I am so thankful to the jury. I am so thankful to everybody who sat and listened, believed us for the first time. For Moore and her sister, both victims, said the guilty verdict brought a sense of closure and vindication. Is this interesting?
Find the defendant guilty.
From trusted pastor to child predator, convicted and behind bars. Good evening, I'm Carrie O'Brien. It's the story that made headlines for the past 2 years. A man of God's fall from grace. Last month, former Richmond megachurch pastor Geronimo Aguilar was found guilty on all 7 counts of felony child sex assault. Tonight, a behind-the-scenes look at what led up to his conviction. Plus, never-before-seen interviews with those who were first to speak out about the abuse.
Okay, well, we're not going to be watching this because it's about half an hour long. So if you guys want to know more about that, just flashed my Facebook up on the screen. That was embarrassing. So if you guys want to know more about that, I guess look up Pastor Child Predator and you'll get about 500 hits. I was driving today, or no, it was like Thursday after my run, and I look out my window, my pastor, or the pastor of my church running down the street. Way slower than I am, obviously. Ustreamer 28441 says News with Nick is better than CNN. I'm like, thank you. Ustreamer 28441 says, talk about the news of Hulk Hogan saying the N-word. I did hear about this, actually, because I am News with Nick, by the way. So I don't know if I keep reminding, I don't know if I, like, made it clear. I know all of the news. And I did hear that this happened. So let's pull this up. Forbes will let me continue to the site in 3 seconds. What you gonna do when the Hulkster runs wild on you? If you are the World Wrestling Entertainment, you fire him. All right, I'm gonna have to pull up another video. Hulk Hogan. I'm gonna try to pull up a video here so we can see. Oops. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Did this happen recently? Hulk Hogan racist audio rant. WWE breaks off ties with Hulk Hogan after racist rant about daughter and black men. World Wrestling Entertainment has ended its more than 3-decade-long relationship with Terry Bollea, also known as Hulk Hogan. In the tape transcript, which Radar and Hogan allegedly tells Heather Clem, the wife of his former friend Bubba, the love sponge, and his father's mother's friend from 2 decades ago, and also his daughter's sister's... Okay, stop. Who cares? Who cares who it is? He told some person that he doesn't want his daughter Brooke sleeping with the son of a black billionaire guy who had offered to show me this ad for coffee. Who had offered to help fund her music career. I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I'm a racist to a point. Fucking niggers. Wait, that escalated quickly. I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I'm a racist to a point. Effing enners, Hogan said, according to 2 publication sources. But then when it comes to nice people and shit and whatever, that doesn't make any, none of what he's saying makes any sense. Then the transcript got worse. He said, I mean, I'd rather if she was going to F some enter, I'd rather have her marry an 8 foot tall enter worth $100 million like a basketball player. So if she's going to do sex with a black gentleman, I'd rather have her marry an 8 foot tall black gentleman worth $100 million like a basketball player is basically what he said. He said, I guess we're all a little racist. Freaking black gentleman. That's basically what he said. Okay, so that's cool. Black Jeepa says he's done so much for that industry for them to just throw him away over that censored. WWE terminated its contract with Terry Bollea, the company said. WWE is committed to embracing and celebrating individuals from all backgrounds as demonstrated by the diversity of our employees, performers, and gay fans nationwide. I added gay. So, what was he even doing, though? Like, I understand, like, he used to be one of the guys that climbs up on the ropes and he goes, I'm gonna body slam my nipple into your face! And he jumps on him, right? But what, like, what was he doing recently? Was he an announcer? Was he even doing anything? Black Jeebus says, but it's dumb of him to do it all. Now, Black Jeebus is allowed to say black gentleman, because he's allegedly a black gentleman, although it could be that all of his Facebook pictures are photoshopped just because he identifies as black and isn't really. He may be just a white woman. We're not sure. So that's Hulk Hogan. So I guess he has been fired from the WWE. Thanks for coming out, Ustreamer 23911 and 24141 and 28441 to News with Nick, live Saturday show. We are now going to be tuning in to hour two of Off the Air Live over at offtheairlive.com or something. I don't freaking know. That is it for News with Nick. We've been doing an hour and 20. I think that is a pretty good thing, and I need to look up a news bumper. Actually, I don't have time to do that, so if I look at my notes, and there's other stuff to talk about always, but we will save it for other weeks, right? And that's the News with Nick. Bye.